that Junior Seau at age 43 took his life. There are a range of emotions for a lot of different people on a lot of different levels, including a Junior's mom, Luisa.
But I appreciate everybody's over here. Show your love.
I love you, Mr.
Show your love to my son.
Love you, Mama Seau.
Who's Junior? Junior never do nothing to you guys. But I say today, thank you. I appreciate you guys show your love to my son.
Hours after her son was found dead in Oceanside, California, we fade the music and fire up the 9 to noon show. Rick Spielman, when he was general manager, vice president of player personnel, whatever it was for the Miami Dolphins, traded for Junior Seau. And you got to know him quite well. Please share.
Yeah, Junior was the epitome of what you're looking for in a football player. He was a true pro's pro. I hope, and I told my kids, I hope someday you can be like a Junior Seau, not only from the talent level, but more important, what he was as a person, the passion he played, what I've talked about a lot with this game. I remember we played Dallas on Thanksgiving, and Junior Seau, when we traded for him, he came into the building. He was an instant leader right off the bat.
Yep.
And you can see that that just passed down through the rest of our players in the locker room. But he had actually torn his finger open. He had tendons hanging out. And we figured, boy, this guy's done. He went in, got sewn up, got his fingers stitched together, and never missed the snap. He went in between series, came back, and played. And that's what Junior Seau was. He was the ideal, and I don't know if there'll ever be another player, another person like Junior Seau, and how important football was to him and how much passion he played the game with.
So he plays 20 years, 12-time Pro Bowler, I believe, went to the Super Bowl, and with everything you just laid out, when he spent the majority of his career with San Diego, and people will remember Dolphins moments, Patriots moments, you know, and obviously this tragic moment, when you spend that much time in San Diego and then you're traded for, some people, specifically veterans, will look at it like, I've been slighted a little bit. They didn't want me there, but, you know, they want me here. You know, I'm not comfortable moving. I don't want to move my family. It's kind of a buzzkill, even though I make all this money and I'm really good. How did Junior handle that whole West Coast, East Coast transition?
Junior was maybe the classiest football player I've ever been around. High character. And when he came in and the trade was finished and we had the press conference, he was in there working out in the weight room right after. He wanted to get with his teammates.
Yep.
He knew why we traded for him. I mean, we were just coming off, I think, a 10 or 11 win season. We're just coming out of the playoffs.
Yep.
And Junior brought that presence to us that we thought we were missing. But anywhere he went, even when he was up in New England,
yep.
And New England does such a great job up there. And, you know, that tells you what kind of player Junior Seau was when a Bill Belichick will continually bring him back onto that roster to be that leader.
How long have you been in the league? 17 years?
22.
It's 22. So through your 22 and, you know, from through the Dolphins, through vice president of player personnel, now general manager here, you obviously have seen a lot, and you've seen a lot of different personality types and everything come through. When you come across a Junior Seau, and maybe, you know, I want to put Brett Favre in this conversation too. I mean, it's, you know, 2010, going 6-10 with some things that emerged early in the season in front of the Jets game. I mean, you can look at things a lot of different ways. But then you can look at 2009 and maybe what's going to happen in Denver this year with Peyton Manning, where there are just certain individuals who play out as the genuine article, where you look at them as like, this is the genuine article. This is the leader, the football player, the tough-minded, the cold-blooded, the competitively arrogant. And it sounds like Junior was that. What was with Brett Favre and Junior Seau, can you draw any correlations?
Those guys are icons. Those guys are Hall of Famers. Those guys are the best that maybe ever played in the NFL. And when you bring that into your organization and you bring that presence into that locker room, it just has a ripple effect down through.
Yeah.
And those guys deserved all the accolades that those guys received as they were playing. But they are unique individuals, unique players that you very rarely come across.
Yeah.
And maybe every 5 or 6 years or maybe every 10 years.
Yep.
But every once in a while, there are those type of players that come through that are that unique, not only as individuals, but as players.
I wonder if Denver can experience what we experienced here in 2009. I mean, I ain't going to put a record on it and, you know, say that they're going to go as far as the Vikings win, inches from the Super Bowl. But I had Eric Decker on the radio show 3 weeks ago, and Eric spent a fair amount of time in the offseason with Peyton. He's with him right now, and he can already start talking about, here's the difference, with all due respect to Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow and Brady Quinn and everybody involved, when this guy gets in here and tells you how it's going to be done, it sticks. It's like, this is how this is going to work, and he proves to you how it's going to work.
And the reason it does is because he's already proven it. He's already won, been in the Super Bowl. He's already had a lot of success. He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. So that's what I'm talking about, is when those guys walk into your locker room and they speak, everybody listens just because of their pedigree.
Yep. Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, in studio. Matt Khalil through undrafted free agency with Travis Nielsen and the guys. Audie Cole at the end. We're going to talk about all that. Rick also, towards the end of the 1 hour in studio, wants to take some phone calls from the audience about the Minnesota Vikings. So we'll do that a little later, and we'll start getting through some of these draft picks and offseason scenarios. Meanwhile, I teased you earlier when you and Robert Hagen of Wyzetta and I were sitting in the lobby putting the schemes together for the 1 hour deal today. I teased you that we had a special guest calling us, correct?
Correct.
Our first call of the day is Chris from Columbus, Minnesota. Chris, you're on the fan. Welcome.
I think you should sign your brother to a one-year deal for $15 million.
Well, Chris, you're not playing the game right. The game is you were going to call in and complain that our new general manager refuses to divulge if he played another team against Cleveland to get those three picks, and now you have the opportunity. The general manager's here, Chris, from Columbus, Minnesota.
Seriously, man, can you stop cutting in on my airtime? I'm trying to get the airtime. It's always about you, man. Let's talk about your book.
Chris Spielman, Rick's brother. Rick Spielman, general manager in studio. Chris called last time. Here's Chris right now. Chris, you got a book? What kind of book you got out there?
Well, it's called That's Why I'm Here, and it chronicles my wife's battle, 12-year battle with breast cancer, and, and kind of how we approached it and the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride that it was. And it's a book about hope, Paul. I think hope about for diagnosis, hope through five recurrences, and even hope through death. Hope that is not a wish, but hope that is a promise, and obviously faith-based.
Yeah, God bless you on that, Chris. And, you know, the mind's just racing with all this, everything circulating with Junior Seau right now. And, you know, your brother and I were just chatting about it. And ironically, and I don't know if depression or anything was tied into Junior Seau, maybe eventually stuff will come out. But Eric Hippel, were you a teammate with Eric Hippel, Chris?
For 1 year.
Okay, Eric Hippel, the former Lions quarterback, he was on this radio show two Fridays ago. He goes around the country and is a very faith-oriented individual, and he's very much into heightening awareness to assist men through depression. And I guess Eric had an attempted suicide, and, you know, so from that interview and remembering some things Eric said to looking at the Seau situation, and, you know, men with depression, it's a serious situation because a lot of guys internalize, man, and they just don't want to break down the barriers and let things out. You know what I mean?
Well, I look at it, I mean, I can only speak from an NFL player's point of view, and I know that it's very difficult when guys leave the game for some guys. Some guys that have not prepared for life without football.
Yep.
And I know that a lot of people were worried about me when my time was up because of my professed obsession with the game. But it's just something that we have to continue to educate players on today as they come in, that this does not last forever. There's no guarantees.
Yep.
Football can consume you. The word that I use, and I kind of used it with cancer, either you control it or it will control you.
Yeah. Isn't the Junior Seau name for this happening? And you guys know him. I mean, you know him. Rick traded for him, brought him into Miami, just praised him for 5 minutes. Isn't hearing the Junior Seau killed himself name like the last name you ever thought you would hear with something like this?
Well, nothing surprises me, Paul, ever. I mean, you know, my experience in life tells me never be shocked. I mean, I'm only going off of what I know, is that all you have to do is pick up the front page of the newspaper and you read some of the stories that are there or listen to the radio and newscast, that nothing can surprise me anymore. And I know that with the Dave Dorson situation, I don't know if there was brain trauma involved or what the deal was. So hopefully answers will come.
How do you think your brother did in the draft? When you and I chatted last night, you were infuriated he didn't take Justin Blackmon with the fourth overall pick in the draft. You were pissed off he traded up for the safety. You wanted to take Reuben Randle at like 35. He went in the 60s or something. So here's your opportunity. He's the general manager. You're his brother.
First of all, I'd never take a wide receiver in the top 10. I wouldn't do it. I don't know why. I think you can find those guys. And I'm, of course, working for ESPN. I really like Jarius Wright and Greg Childs. I think both those guys, first of all, they're well-coached out at Arkansas. I'll promise you that. And Greg Childs, before he got hurt, was a game-breaker. And Rick was with me when I did the Texas A&M Arkansas game where Jarius just went off. So I like what he did. I think I like Cleveland. I like what Cleveland did, too, to be honest with you, with moving up to get their guy. I really did. And
me too.
They had extra picks. And if you got a guy targeted and you love him, go marry him.
So you're saying, Chris Spielman, Rick Spielman, his brother's in studio, general manager Vikings. Chris, you're saying if Jarius Wright ends up being a Pro Bowl type player, you put Rick on Jarius Wright?
Yes, that's usually how it works.
All right, man.
I usually tell them the guys that I think, I only make my evaluation and give myself a grade after 3 years.
Yeah. So. Well, I caught him off guard, Chris, and he came in studio, and I've been a racetrack announcer for 19 years. So in my world, the Kentucky Derby this weekend's kind of big. It's big for everybody, man, but I mean, like, I've been in this
Chris,
game.
Chris, do not take his tips.
Well, hold on.
I never bet, and I put $2 on a horse he told me last year, and I got last place.
So here's the deal. I put these past performances, Chris, 20 horses in front of your brother Rick. The ADD kicked in a little bit. He attempted to look at four pages, and he's like, I'm not looking at these names. I've just gone through college free agency for like the last 8 days, and now you want me to look at horses? So then he just settled in on number 3, Take Charge Indy, 15-1 on the morning line, ridden by Calvin Burrell, who won the Kentucky Derby a couple of years ago aboard a horse named Super Saver. The Rick Spielman Stone Cold Lead Pipe Cinch release for the 2012 Kentucky Derby is number 3, Take Charge Indy. Are you in?
I would trust him on my draft picks. I'm certainly not going to trust him with my cash, though.
All right, man. You brothers got any love you want to share or anything before
we
say goodbye?
Paul did buy me a coffee today, so I got my $2 back from last year.
Do you know?
I know that hurt, Paul, to go ahead and reach in.
Oh boy, you talk about alligator arms,
Chris. Well, you know what? Hey, Chris, if Rick were a college athlete and he conceded that I bought him a coffee, do you know how freaking big that violation would be? It would be on ESPN's ticker within 5 minutes that somebody cheated over a $1 coffee from D. Bryan.
The whole lobby down there, their mouth just dropped when they saw Paul Allen pull out a dollar and buy me a coffee today.
Chris from Columbus, Minnesota, even though you didn't follow the plan and press the general manager on the fact that he may have played another team against Cleveland, we really appreciate you calling, and thanks for enhancing the radio show.
All right, real quick, Paul, I want to tell you that I'm a big fan of yours. I listen every Sunday to the game when I'm exiled to some soccer
field
in Metropolitan Columbus, and I love you. Oh no, Pete Bursich, what do we do now?
I like you. You want to stay? We can have the general manager leave for a minute.
He does this for a living. Can you get him an autographed books that send here, because he's been asking about it?
Yeah, I would like one.
Yeah, sure. Amazon.com, Paul. You get a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll be happy to mail you one,
bro. Holy cow. Chris, you're the best, man. Let's do it more often, all right?
Good luck with that.
That's all right, take care, guys.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Chris from Columbus, Minnesota. Man, he blew it because he was going to come in and he was going to be all over you about not drafting Claiborne. With whom did you play against Cleveland? Why didn't you take Reuben Randle? And what in the hell's going on with the Minnesota Vikings? But
blood's pretty thick.
But say it again?
Bloodlines are pretty thick.
Yeah, no, I know. Bloodlines are thick, man. You guys are some tough ones, too, from Ohio. That's Rick Spielman, general manager for the Vikings. Robert Blanton, Matt Khalil, the Arkansas wide receivers, phone calls later, and much more coming up. Ben Lieber, former teammate with a Junior Seau, he'll be in studio today. Ben's been coming in frequently, set it up earlier in the week, and he's a former teammate with Junior Seau. He's going to be here sharing some stories about 35, 40 minutes from now. Then when we become a webcast at foxsportsnorth.com, Marnie Gellner is in studio. The Twins got no hit last night, by the way. We'll discuss that. More on the National Football League, the Minnesota Vikings, and the 2012 draft with general manager Rick Spielman when we return to the Fan, because this is 9 to noon.
Programming on the Fan brought to you by AT&T.
Rick Spielman, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings in studio. Happy Kentucky Derby Week. Welcome back. This is 9 to noon. Rick Spielman's official selection for the Kentucky Derby, for those of you listening to Winter Park, Take Charge, Indy, number 3, 15 to 1 on the morning line. Let's get serious and go to the world of the National Football League. And I want to begin with your safety spot. Okay, you trade up for Harrison Smith. You take a Robert Blanton, the cornerback slash safety. Is he cornerback slash safety, or is he cornerback?
He'll play both. We'll probably look at him more as a safety than a cornerback. And that was, again, a guy later in the second round, or in the second, in that third day, and on Saturday, that was just too good of a football player to pass up.
Okay. Now we talk differently. I have no stake in it, with the exception of the emotional stake and calling the games and everything. You're the general manager of the team, and it's on you, man. I mean, you appreciate moments like this. You're the general manager of the team, so I can be a little more direct, and you got to be a little more conservative. I'm gonna put it like this: with all due respect to anybody currently on the roster or anybody you have up your sleeve that you may be bringing in here, let's just start Robert Blanton and Harrison Smith at safety right out of the gate. Just put the safeties in there against Blaine Gabbert and just start them out of the gate and raise them that way. What do you think?
What you want to do is create competition, and by bringing in some of the players that we did bring in Saturday, some of the college free agents that we did sign, that'll create a lot of competition, especially on the back end of our defense, where we knew we needed to have it to improve the depth, improve our pass defense. So the idea and the objective is, when you're going into the draft and coming out of the draft and coming out of college free agency, is don't have the mindset you have this guy in place, you have this guy in place. You just go get the best football players, let them go out there and compete. That'll start this weekend with our rookie minicamp. Then it'll go into our OTAs, mandatory minicamp, into training camp. And then when you have that competition out there, all of a sudden people start to rise. Who's going to respond? Who's going to maybe falter to the side? So that's the thing. When you can create the competition that I believe we've created, it's going to help our football team get better.
Yeah, and all these things I say on the radio talking about the Vikings 60 to 70% of the time during the week and about 80 or 90 up to the draft for many weeks, it's cool because I've either said them to you personally or I get a chance to say them to you now with the audience. But like Jamarcus Sanford, okay, fantastic seventh-round pick if we're looking at all phases of special teams and changing the game that way. When it comes to being a full-time safety, it's my opinion that that's probably what he's not best suited to do. But then Mistrail Raymond jumped into the mix late last year, and I would imagine you had the overwhelmed part early with him. But then did it get better from a safety standpoint for Raymond?
We're very excited about Mistrail and even Jamarca. When you look at Jamarca,
really,
he is a very, very good safety when he's up closer to the line of scrimmage. So how the scheme fits and how the adjustments, he can be a very good safety as well.
But isn't that Harrison Smith's bit now?
Well, yeah, that's why we drafted Harrison Smith, too, because he can do both from the back end and play that half coverage, play the deep third of the receiver of the field, but also step up and play in that box when you have to have run support.
Yep.
So just because we have taken these players and we expect a lot of big things out of Harrison and all the players we took, we do have some very good young football players on our team that are going to continue to improve and get better as well.
So being within the aura, being within it like you are, and coaches and everything, you can't come into camps and or training camps and seasons saying, with the exception of like Jared Allen, Percy Harvin, Adrian Peterson, Chad Greenway, Christian Ponder, blah, blah, blah. But with like the safety situation, Mistrail Raymond, Jamarcus Sanford, Harrison Smith, Robert Blanton, let's put two more in there, whoever you want, DuJour, it doesn't come in with like, Harrison, we traded up to get you with Baltimore, so you start. He has to come in and win, right?
Oh, yeah. No, they have to come in and show us that they belong on the field. Mm-hmm. And the coaches will determine who's going to play and not play. But that'll be based on what they show from when they walk in the door tonight, what they do this weekend, and then how we go forward from here.
Are you excited to get them here? And you know, how much do you know these draft picks, the ones who were drafted, not the college free agents? How much did you get to know them through the top 30 dinners and the pro days and the combine and all that?
Every one of those guys that we did draft, we spent a lot of time with, whether interviewing at the combine, going down to the pro days this spring, coaching some of these players actually in the Senior Bowl. Blant was out at the East-West game, spending time with him out there, then having our coaches get to know him. So we try to set up a system where everybody that's going to have their hands on them, from the coaches, from the people that are selecting them, that the guys that are coming in the building with our player programs guy, everybody at least gets an opportunity to sit down and talk with this kid and give their opinion on what they think of him as a person.
Rick Spielman in studio, if it's pretty obvious it's going to be Luck into Griffin or Griffin into Luck, which it was, and you have a quarterback you like and you're looking at the left tackle despite the national reports and everything, how much would you and or Studwell and his staff, how much time would you put into Andrew Luck or Robert Griffin III?
I believe once that trade was made, we backed down. Now, we graded him.
Mm-hmm.
We had 5 reports on Andrew Luck. We had 6 reports on RG3. So we do have to put our time into it. We do have to have our database because you never know what's going to happen. And I'll give you an example of Jerome Simpson.
Yeah.
Okay. He remembered when he was here on our top 30 and how much time we spent with him because we were very intrigued with the athletic skill set.
Coastal Carolina.
From Coastal Carolina, came in with actually Tyler Thigpen that year.
That's right.
So he, when we started pursuing him all the way back in February and then started to do our background, everything we do to make sure we were comfortable with the situation, the one thing that he remembered was his visit into Minnesota. He remembered Coach George Stewart and how impressed he was with Coach George Stewart.
Yeah.
Met with Leslie Frazier, even though he was a defensive coordinator. Leslie spent some time with him.
Yeah.
So he remembered exactly the seat he was sitting in when we interviewed him in my office when he came in on the top 30. We sat in that exact same seat. So a lot of times it may not seem like, hey, why do you waste your time? Because you never know, one of those players are going to become an unrestricted free agent. One of those players you may trade for someday. So you're always looking at doing your due diligence and putting in the time, even if a guy doesn't seem like you're going to draft him, you never know what's going to happen down the road.
Jerome Simpson, with the jail time that he served, and it slowed his free agency process and everything, and then you brought him in, I believe, on a Saturday, closed on it 72, 96 hours later. Is there, I don't want to get into culture of accountability because that term is in the rearview mirror, but you always want to have a culture of accountability. You know, and Love Boat takes place before you're here. You know, then all of a sudden Smoot's gone and Dwight Smith's gone. And, you know, guys eventually were weeded out. I felt that was one of the underrated things during the super boring first season Brad Childress had here. We were 6-10. The offense was super boring. He was changing the whole thing. Brad Johnson struggled and I think struggled with Brad and just trying to figure out how it was going to work. But Brad did a fair amount to clean out a fair amount of things.
Brad Childress did an outstanding job doing that.
Yeah.
Trying to get that culture of accountability, which you've talked about, trying to bring in high-quality, high-character players.
But there's no way with the allegation of the 2.5 pounds of pot and stuff like that in the 15 days, and then he hits free agency, even if he's 4-3, 3, 4, 5 years ago, there's no way the team signs him simply because of that. And that situation, that individual situation does not make him a loser for life. But nevertheless, clearly, if you vet it out, and maybe with some college players you were thinking about too, if you vet it out, you clearly are more comfortable handling situations like this than maybe a few years ago.
I disagree with you on that part of it too, because we have brought in some guys that had some character concerns that have come in here and been very successful, and been successful not only on the field, but being a role model out as a citizen as well. And I think the Minnesota Viking fans can be proud of. And we really do, I believe, a thorough job to try to make the best decisions possible. And it's not just a split-second decision or just reading what's out in the media, because a lot of it is a lot deeper than that.
Yep.
And you have to dig deep to find out if it's the right decision or not for your organization. And it's all on an individual basis. And history and things like that. So when we do make decisions, I can guarantee we are going to do as thorough of a job as we can. Can I sit here on the radio right now and say we are going to be 100% right every time? I would not do that. I'm going to try to be 100% right every time. But I do know our process is very thorough, and we're going to do everything we can to try to make the best decisions possible.
Oh, my gosh. Above average at that.
Who'd you play against Cleveland to get those picks?
That was very exciting right before the draft.
Very exciting, wasn't it?
Yeah, there were
started on Monday, didn't you?
There were more teams you know, that had called, had expressed interest.
You familiar with FIA? No. Freedom of Information Act. What I have here in front of me, your cell phone records. And I'm looking at area codes.
Go ahead. What were you saying, man?
I'm just saying that Cleveland did the right thing. We did the right thing for our ball club. Yeah. Cleveland got a great football player, great running back who I think is going to have an outstanding career.
Did you have another team in the mix? You don't have to say who it was. I'd like you to.
No, I'm going to say we had more than one team that had called.
If I had draft withdrawal Saturday night and Sunday morning, you still must have it right now with all the time and energy that you put in and everything. And for us on this side, when something like that takes place, and it takes place before the draft, it just gives the feel of somebody hoisted the white flag saying, I can't take this anymore. Let's just do this deal. Tell me it's done now, and we'll call it a deal into the draft. Because the majority of the time, it's the walk up on the clock, where with like 4 minutes, we have a trade, blah, 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 blah. So it just, you know, it seems like you played it very well, and you got to be proud.
Well, again, I think it was a benefit for both clubs.
Yeah. Trent Richardson to Cleveland, that's going to be outstanding. The general manager of the Minnesota Vikings is open for draft-related or team-related phone calls. He'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. The phone numbers are 800-320-5326 or 651-989-5326. On-air crack at the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, Rick Spielman, 800-320-5326, 651-989-5326. Greg Childs is the topic of conversation when we return.
The show where football season never ends. You're listening to PA on the Fan.
43 minutes past the hour, 9 to noon, home for Vikings football. Vikings general manager Rick Spielman in studio, packed phone lines. And we want Rube Nation to chat with the general manager. Let me stick one in here just quickly. Mike Mayock of NFL Network, a very well-respected opinion. He's very high on Travis Nielsen, this outside linebacker from Iowa you brought in via college free agency. What's there to like?
He is a multi-positional player, very intelligent, fit the profile we were looking for in this draft, and extremely talented athlete. Now, I know he had some injury history a little bit, mm-hmm. some durability concerns, but we felt fine with him.
Okay.
And really felt that we may have potentially hit on a pretty good football player.
Is it Naeem? Naeem?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Naeem and Ramsey? Right. Chat with the general manager, please.
Thanks for calling in.
Be respectful.
Yes. Rick, I have a question. What is something that we would notice that was different about this draft in comparison to past drafts?
I think just from the procedural standpoint, we still go through our same protocol as far as who's reading. The coaches are heavily involved. Leslie Frazier is heavily involved. But the biggest difference is there's one voice in that room now, and when we're on the clock or we're doing potential trades, you know, from some of the things that we pulled the trigger on right before the draft with Cleveland to making that decision when we were in Saturday trying to accumulate some picks for next year, because I honestly believe if you can have 9 or 10 picks every year to build this roster and can keep plenishing this roster as older guys exit and you're developing your young talent, it was a lot smoother where you didn't have to sit there and ask permission and is everybody on the same page. Everybody was on the same page as we went through this, but the whole situation in that room especially was just a lot smoother to go ahead and go off of your gut instinct. And that's part of that on draft day is you're going off feel, you're going off and seeing how the board's coming off. You know, when we took Jarius Wright, I knew there were two littler return slot type receivers that went. If we were going to take a chance on him, we had to take him there in the fourth round, and you've seen three picks later, the slot returner from Michigan State ended up going. So as you're working that room and you get a sense for what's going on, just like anything else, you kind of get a gut instinct or a feel, and then go ahead and do what you think's best.
Dave Mankato, welcome.
Hey, hello, and thanks for taking my call, and congratulations on a great draft. I just have a question about how Everson Griffin fits into the future for the Vikings.
Good question.
Thanks for the call. Everson's an extremely gifted athlete. And we hired Alan Williams as our new defensive coordinator. I know we're trying to implement more rotation in our defensive line. When Everson played last year, he can rush from the outside. He can rush from the left, from the right. You've seen in some of our games he even actually stood up as a linebacker, what we call a joker position,
yeah,
where he'll drop in coverage sometimes. Sometimes he rushes. So he gives you...
You did that first at the Dome against the Lions. It threw Stafford off for a quarter and a half. It was pretty good.
Correct. But it gives you flexibility when you have an athlete on defense to go ahead and do some different things that you couldn't do if you had that same type of athlete. The other thing that I don't think people noticed was we put him out there wide on our punt coverage, and there's no one that can block him. And he really excelled on special teams last year. And I believe that he has potential to be a Pro Bowl special team player because it's a rarity to have a guy 275 pounds standing outside running a 4.6 40 down the side because those smaller corners aren't going to be able to jam him at the line of scrimmage.
He was a gunner, right?
And he was a great athlete breaking down the space and closing on those returners. And that's something we definitely need with the returners we face.
He led you in special teams tackles right until the end, and Eric Frampton came and got him right at the end, I think.
Yeah, and he's an unsung hero on our football team.
Larry in Fargo, 740 The Fan. Rick Spielman, good morning.
Good morning. Quick question, Coach. We had a number of players, I think, that were highly rated on the offensive, defensive line, and yet you traded away one of your seventh-round picks. What was your strategy there, and who did you sign as undrafted for offensive, defensive linemen?
Thank you.
We've got a couple of very good young defense and offensive linemen coming in, but the strategy was, the big point was, when you had three seventh-round picks, we still had two. We ended up drafting a defensive line, Guyton from Cal, who's a very good football player who can play some three technique behind Kevin Williams. He can also play some left defensive end.
Yep.
He also can go inside and rush as a nose tackle in nickel situations and we're rushing a passer. But that was a thought process of knowing how many picks we had next year in the draft.
Yep.
And you have some extra chips. Well, why don't we take a seventh rounder and make it into a sixth rounder next year? That's why we took one of our fifth rounders, made it into a fourth rounder next year. And that's the thing, that as you accumulate those picks, you can do a lot of different things. And by having those extra picks, we were able to go ahead and move up and get a Harrison Smith.
Wow.
So that is your currency on how you move up and down the draft board.
Picks from this year to last year and last year to this year.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Linebacker depth. Jasper Brinkley, let's pencil him in the middle at this moment. Is that fair?
Yes.
Aaron Henderson outside, one-year deal. That's fair.
Correct.
Greenway could lead the NFL in tackles. Is that fair?
Yes.
Linebacker depth. You know, was there a time during the draft where you were balancing the receivers and the cornerback safety from Notre Dame, you know, and from what you told me or shared here, not a great linebacker draft this year. You know, likewise for the safeties after the one you got. But were you nervous at all during the draft that, you know, that you have some questions at the linebacker spot?
Yeah, don't get nervous during a draft. Mm-hmm. Just kind of sit there and let things come to you.
Got it.
We did look at some linebackers at certain parts of that draft, but we went with the best player available at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Adi Cole, who we drafted in the seventh round, we did coach at the Senior Bowl, who we feel we got a steal in the seventh round on. He can play both Mike, he can play Will, he can play Sam. Very intelligent, very good special team player. Our coaches really fell in love with him down coaching him for the week at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
We signed Marvin Mitchell, who is kind of one unknown. When you watched him play at Miami, he has ability to play Mike and Will and is also a very good football player and a very good special teamer. So we'll continue to, you know, we have some potential guys coming in next week for workouts once we get through this rookie minicamp. We may claim a guy because we have to take advantage of, as we go forward all the way up to the trade deadline ends, we're third in the pecking order on the waiver claim.
Okay.
So as we see teams release guys or they're heavy at one position, if we feel we can still add to our depth, we're definitely going to do that and take advantage of that being that third overall on the waiver claim.
Trying to squeeze in as many calls as I can for Vikings general manager Rick Spielman. Next is Greg in Chaska. You're on the Fan.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I want to start off by saying thanks for, in my opinion, one of the best managed drafts the Viking fans have seen in a little while. My question is, why weren't we more active in free agency, particularly with some of the more well-known players?
What the goal was, and as we set our philosophy going forward, and what I honestly believe in, is building through the draft. And we did dabble our foot in some of those higher-priced free agents, but at a point when the money got too far out of control, where we thought it was worth, the money was more than what the player was worth. We decided to hold back.
Yep.
The guys that we did sign, we let the market settle. We feel we got some very good value on some of these players that we did bring in. We went out and was very aggressive with John Carlson. That was our biggest sign because of how important the tight end position is, and especially in a passing game in Bill Musgrave's offense. But those guys, the Schwartzes of the world and some of the other guys that we signed to one-year deals, mm-hmm. those guys are coming in that are not well-known, but we felt very good football players that can definitely help our ball club. And if one or two of those guys surfaced out, the guys we signed in that area,
yep.
we may look at extending and putting them in a long-term deal.
So you kind of had some themes, didn't you?
In yes.
In that you want the players to be young, but you also recognize you staked a claim on Christian Ponder at 12th overall. And he comes out of the gate sticking touchdowns on Charles Woodson, winning at Charlotte. A little conservative in Atlanta, but put the team in a chance, a spot to win. Had some great moments against Oakland, but then some bad picks at the end, like rookies will roll. Went for 400 and change against Denver. Then he got knocked around and it kind of fell off the table a little bit. So you wanted to support the Ponder opinion from Khalil through Simpson and Carlson and the Arkansas kids. So there, now we're looking at the themes. And in free agency, Jeremy Fowler from the Pioneer Press, who I think does a good job, he had a report shortly after free agency started that the team pursued the services of Pierre Garçon from the Indianapolis Colts. That a kind of guy like that, he would have fit all the themes, but then you talk about the money. This is no knock on Pierre. Get what you can in a capitalistic society. Good luck to the Skins. But when it got up to around 21 and a half, 22, something like that, It that's what you're talking about, right? With the money getting so high.
Just and that's where you have to have the discipline to know where the money does get too high, where you may not get value for that money.
Yep.
So you want to pull back. And the other thing we really preach this year is being patient. Let things come to us. We let things come to us in the draft. When you have to move to go get something, go do it.
Yep.
Otherwise, sit back and let it come to you. And all the guys that we signed in free agency are all 26 years old.
Yep.
And one of the themes is with this offense, offenses have to work together 3, 4, 5 years before. And that is the side of the ball that really has to work as one unit. And the longer you can have those guys together and working together, the more success that you're going to have.
All right, is the drafting process and the general managerial job and everything, is it a little overrated? And here's what I mean. The radio show that follows me is done by the monologue master, Dan Cole, the common man. And up to the draft, might have been day of the draft, he's talking about the draft. Mark Rosen from Channel 4 Sports, you were just in studio with him for Sunday night. He's in here. And a rube, as we would call it, a listener called with draft scenarios, and here's how it worked.
I had a question for Mark.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
A little theory, if we could maybe get this done. Trade with the Bucks, and then we get Khalil or, at the worst, Claiborne.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get, their 36th pick, I believe, right?
Yeah, that would be the theory.
Is there any way that we could give, like, the Patriots or something, the 36th pick in, like, a fourth round, jump back into the first round and get, like, a Harrison Smith or something like
whoa,
that?
Whoa.
I don't think
that's going to happen.
That'd be sneaky, though.
I mean, if you make 1.3 a year, you just got stuck.
Yeah. Who is that guy? I need to talk to him.
Give that guy a contract. If Ziggy's listening right now, he's like, so you're telling me this is like Vomit Guy from Fridley, and he just called up and pegged our draft? That's unbelievable.
I always loved that one.
So I ask you, is the whole thing overrated, or does all this work really need to go into it?
Yeah, it's how you build your roster and how you stay competitive year in, year out.
Let me take this last phone call, and then we'll say goodbye, and I'm going to bring Ben Lieber in studio. Howard in Chicago, iHeartRadio. Hello.
Good morning. I'm just wondering if late in the second round, did you think about trading up to draft either Johnson or Randall, or you headed Robinson rated ahead of both of those?
I'm glad you brought up Reuben Randall. You know a thousand times more about it than I'll ever know. I don't know, man. I mean, it's where he went and where he went to the Giants. Did it surprise you? It was the end of the second round.
Ruben's a very talented receiver, and we had four guys on our board at the time. And I tell you, that's where the patience part and can get a little hairy in the draft room is we had four names up on that board with five names to pick, with five slots before we picked, and three of those four had already went off the board. We were very excited that Josh Robinson was the one that fell to us because of the upside and the unique athletic traits that he does have at corner. We need to know we were able to address the safety, but we also needed to address the corner situation too. With Reuben Randall, felt very strong about him and what he can bring to your football team, but we also knew that through that fourth round, there were going to be some potential steals as far as receivers go, because that was the deepest part of the draft.
Are you super busy next week? I mean, I'd like you to come in again maybe for two segments. I've got a million more things to bring up, and I'm leaving callers on the table. I know you're busy and everything, but I'll work it out with Hagan. You know, well, if you got a couple of segments next week, I'd love to do it again.
We'll talk about it.
Rick Spielman.
We want you to negotiate with Hagan. Well, see what kind of negotiator you are.
If not,
$1 cup of coffee ain't going to get it.
Well, guess what? I'm going to play the leverage game now. If you say no, I'll book this guy.
I had a question for Mark.
Yes, sir.
You may know better more than all of us.
And I'll say, Ziggy, look who I got here, man. He'll do it for 45 grand a year. And he pegged it. Wrong team, but right scenario. Thank you very much. That was enjoyable.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And thanks to the fans out there.
Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, in studio, podcast any part of it at KFAN.com. Ben Lieber, who joins every so often, former teammate with the late Junior Seau, he's going to be in studio next.
You're listening to the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen, on the Fan.